Hello, Fizzy Fam. Welcome back to the Let's Get Fizzy Pole podcast. It's Christy Sellers here, founder of Fizzy Pole Studios, and I'm so excited to introduce this month's episode to you. So if you don't know yet, on the Let's Get Fizzy Pole podcast, for the entire year of 2021, we are doing a series called The Awkward Truth. And The Awkward Truth is all about talking about the topics that you kind of want to talk about, but you feel a little bit awkward talking about them. So we are doing all of that here on the podcast, on the website, there's a blog, on the social media. So yeah, it all ties in together and we're doing a new topic every single month. So this month's topic is relationships and pole. So I'm really excited for this because I think everyone has experienced a different side of this equation. Maybe you have been in a relationship or are in a relationship where your partner is really supportive of your fizzy pole addiction, or maybe not. And that's why we're doing this episode, because you know, there are a lot of people who are experiencing the not side and it doesn't often get spoken about. So this episode is going to cover all of that and is hosted by the amazing and lovely Dano from our Pakenham studio. Dano is going to be chatting along with some of the other Pakenham instructors all about relationships and pole. They're all coming at it from a different point of view and different experience. So without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to Dano.
Well, welcome everyone to this month's episode of Let's Get Fizzy Pole, the Awkward Truths edition. Today we are discussing all about pole and relationships / aerials and relationships, because we're all inclusive. So I would like you to welcome, we've got Danny and Carissa. They are both some of my lovely instructors from the Pakenham studio. And you've got me, Dano, who is the studio manager. So welcome, you guys.
Hello.
Hi.
So I think with this topic being pole and aerial and relationships, I think we should start off with, well, firstly, everyone grabbing a glass of wine, because I feel like that is the vibe of this session. I know the three of us all have ours. And just for those listening, well, we're keeping it clean today, but just be mindful of any young ears around and listen through all of this before allowing them to, just in case, you know, you want to check it out first. So let's go around my screen of introducing ourselves and sort of talking about your current relationship status. And yes, starting with Danny.
Hey, so I've recently got married. We've been together it was 9.5 years when we finally tied the knot.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, long enough. I would say. Yeah.
So have you been doing aerials the entire time you've been in a relationship, or did you start after?
I started after we bought our house. I found a studio locally. So I've been doing aerials for like three or four years.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, well and truly into a relationship when I discovered that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Carissa?
I am recently engaged.
Yay!
Yay!
My partner, Paul, proposed to me on Christmas Day, so we've been engaged the whole month and a bit. We have been together since April 2013, so 7 and a bit years, and I have been polling that entire time. I actually was polling before we started dating and had a bit of a gap for about 6-8 months due to a few things that were going on in my life at that point in time. And during that time, I actually met Paul at work and we were friends for about 6 months before we started dating. And I said to him, oh yeah, I did pole dancing. I'm thinking about going back to it. And he's like, you definitely should.
Nice. Well, we will definitely get further into that.
And and I have never looked back.
Nice.
I love that.
That makes me the odd one out in this group because I am single. I was in a very long-term relationship in the past and I started polling a year into that relationship, I think it was, and then was in that for 8 years and, yeah, that stopped. And, yes, I've semi-been single ever since and been polling a lot ever since. So how we're going to structure this podcast for everyone listening is we're just going to have more of a general chit-chat about pole, aerials and relationships, the positives, the negatives, the tips that we've got, the issues that we've had and struggled through and been through, and just to give some advice and help each other out for those that are in those situations and working through them, on the rise up out of the situation and all that sort of thing. So I think we will jump into Carissa's situation of getting back into the pole and telling Paul that you were an ex-pole person and wanting to get back. So he didn't know that you used to do pole before you guys started dating, or?
Not until I told him. During that time, it had been a few months break and I just wanted to get back into it because I really enjoyed doing pole. We were friends and I thought, well, hey, he may as well know what I'm up to and everything. Yeah. And, yeah, he was always really supportive of that. And even when we started dating, he's continued to be incredibly supportive of my pole and fitness journey. He has attended many showcases, performance nights. He's come along to a few professional competitions that I've watched where I've gone and seen other students and teachers at the studios that I was at the time. He's helped me with a couple of competition routines. So when I did my very first routine, he sort of helped out with the music selection and little bits of choreography and stage presence and developing the character. And he made it a really fun and enjoyable experience for me along with my coaches.
Awesome.
I got
That's so beautiful.
Most entertaining performance from that competition. So that also made it a very happy experience to look back on, and I decided that the year after that I wanted to compete again, and he actually became a human prop in my routine.
So a very supportive pole partner.
Yeah. That did mean that he had to come along to the training sessions and I had to be like, okay, so when I'm doing this trick or I'm dancing and this bit, you have to be here on the stage and you need to be doing this. And every practice session he'd be like, Yeah, I know what you mean. I'll do it. That's fine. Like, I'll do it on the night. Truth be told, I did not even know what he would be doing in the performances while I was on the pole. He was pretty much on stage the entire time. And it wasn't until I rewatched the video of the tech run that I was like, okay, yeah, I understand what he's doing now. And thought it was a bit funny. So just to put some context around it, I did yellow polka dot bikini as the routine and he was the lifeguard.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
Yeah. No, it's sweet that he's that dedicated and, like, supportive, and, you know, it does take a lot of courage for them to also get up on the stage with you as well, because I think they do realise how important that role can actually be and it can make and break a routine.
It can, and I do remember saying to him after the performance, do you want to come on stage with me at the end when all of the competitors get up? And he's like, nah, I'll just sit in the audience. It's fine, you know, I don't need to go up on stage with you. And I actually ended up coming second in my category that performance.
Oh, wow.
So that very much took me by surprise, and I think I did promise him at the time that I would get him a sash, but I haven't got him a sash, so I will at some stage, maybe.
When he deserves another one, he can get one. So, yeah, obviously he was all good and dandy with you coming back. That's awesome. Danny, how'd your partner feel about you joining Aerials?
He was pretty indifferent. He was like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Like, you just go and do your thing. And, yeah, like, his understanding that, like, it is important to me and that it takes up a fair bit of my time and my weekend. It's not his favourite part that I get up early on a weekend, but he lives with it. But, yeah, he is supportive, like, I guess, because he's put up the rigging in the garage so I can do some, make like, some conditioning and things, and he helps out with my music. So, yeah, he's all right, I suppose.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. My dog's probably more supportive.
Well, your dog is trying to be on the podcast too, so.
I know. I'm waiting for him to start yelling at me.
In the background, that's Danny's dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. So you guys obviously didn't have any issues telling partners or anything. That's cool. I mean,
nah, sorry.
Being on the single side and like dating, it's always that awkward. Do you tell them? Do you not? Because what are their comments going to be as soon as you tell them? And there are some very, you know, cliched responses that you definitely get back when you say that you're a pole dancer. So yeah, that's,
yeah.
It's always been a, there are some people, I think, and for context, like basically being on dating apps and everything like that, where you can see that they're into sport and health and fitness, and then you're like, okay, maybe they understand that, you know, it's a way of exercising and things like that. And so you're fine to tell them, but then there's others that you're like, oh, maybe not. It's just so hard. Like, I don't know, I find it really awkward to tell people that I pole, which is so strange because it's such a big part of my life. Like, it takes up most of my time. And, yeah, I don't know. I think it, yeah, might just be me, let's be honest. But the last guy I dated, I think it was 4 months into, like, dating him that I actually told him that I was a pole dancer. Like, before that, I was going to the gym. And that was just easier. Although having to explain the bruises wasn't so easy. Like, what are you doing at the gym?
Yeah, because they're nice bruises.
Really easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, lifting heavy weights, running into treadmills. Yeah. It can be hard, though, because there is such a stigma. Like, it is more so with pole dancing than aerials. I find when you say you do aerials, people sort of mostly don't know what that is. So then you can sort of say, oh, you know, circus stuff, and they get that, and that's seen as, oh, that's cool, that's interesting. Whereas the pole, there's just, you know, not that they're, like, not that there's anything wrong with, you know, the whole sexier side of pole dancing and the strip clubs and everything. Like, don't get me wrong, like, got its place and like all help, like power to them, but I feel like that's where people go straight away when you say you're a pole dancer, and then even more so when you say you're a pole instructor.
Yeah.
So I don't even mention instructing until we're actually dating. But
have you ever had anyone sort of not happy about it when you've explained it?
No, I don't think I've not, like, I don't think I've ever let them have, like, the opportunity to not be happy about it, like, as in my single life. If they've reacted, like, with a crappy, cheesy-ass comment back, I probably won't give them the time of day anymore. So there's, like, that's an easy way to, what is it, swipe left? Just get rid of them. But in my previous relationship, it started off as being supportive and all for it, and then turned into not really wanting to support. So he just stopped showing up to comps and things like that and didn't really want to have anything to do with it. And, you know, I understand a little bit with comps, like, it is a long night and things like that. But, yeah, it's unfortunate when your partner just doesn't want to come just to support you, because to me that's the hallmark of a good relationship.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a little hard to overcome. But, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but I guess getting a little bit further into the time and time at pole and traveling to pole and Danny aerials as well, it can be a massive time. Both of you are newly instructors as well, so I want to have a bit of a chat with how sort of the amount of time you spend at the studio, like, are your partners okay with that? What do you do to help balance that out? Like, do you do anything special to sort of make sure that you're sharing the love equally? This is more so for like advice to other people and, you know, sort of what you would recommend people make sure that they do to have a balance between the two. Who's up first?
Yeah, I've written up like on the fridge, like that we've got a little communication board happening there, and I've written up the days and times I'm at the studio. So when I'm not home for dinner, or we're going to have a late dinner or something like that. So we try and meal plan around that, I guess, and we make sure that we go out like for breakfast or lunch on the weekend. So we are spending some of that quality time together as well. We find like a doco, so a couple nights a week we'll sit down on the couch together, just so that we are like actually getting to see each other, because we both work full time as well. Mm. So like during the day we're not together overnight time, because I'm at the studio like four nights a week, I think. Like there's not a much face-to-face time. But yeah, just like scheduling in like a meal together where you can sit and talk. Yeah, that's how we manage it anyway.
That's sweet. How are you, Carissa?
So in a way similar to Danny, I have got a copy of this term's timetable on the fridge, and I've actually marked what classes I teach as an instructor and then take as a student, along with the casual classes that I'm booking into each week. And then we've also got a little board in the pantry that will write what we're doing for the week on there. So most nights Paul is at home having dinner by himself, but there are a couple of nights where we're both home together, so it's always fun being able to have dinner at home with him and spend some time with him. He is also working full time, but we're both still working at home currently. So we do still see each other all day, every day. It's just mostly surrounded by work. So he might be sitting in on a Teams meeting at work, and then I might have a couple of phone calls coming in. So like we'll sort of chit chatter about what we're doing at work and how our day is going, but
so you guys,
it's more sort of like a co-worker vibe.
Just having the office romance, the fling at the office.
No, we don't work together like the same business anymore. Same industry, but not like not the same business or anything. But yeah, we try and have a nice dinner together on those nights that I am at home, and then doing something together on the weekends as well. So you know, Saturday afternoons, evenings, and even Sundays, just so we're still spending some time together, and then catching up with family as well.
Yeah, I think certainly making sure that you're still spending like a date night, even if it is just at home, you know, watching a movie or something like that, I think is so important to just make sure you've got that balance. And I know that's probably one of the failings of my past relationship, was we didn't end up spending any time together. And sort of the more separated we got, the easier it was to just spend more time at the studio away from the relationship, which then makes the situation worse as well. So it's just making sure that you're dedicating that time and communicating, like both of you have sort of the communication boards and stuff like that of where you're going to be, seems to be something that works for both of you. And yeah, I think, well, I've always been one that spends a lot of time at the studio, as you both sort of know. But back when I was just a student, I'd be at the studio for practice time four nights a week, so Monday to Thursday, and then doing, well, all of the advanced classes were always late at night, so I would basically just chill at the studio until my class was on, and then eventually go home, and yeah, didn't leave much time for anyone else in that. And then, you know, go forward and dating, and if you're spending too much time sort of at the studio as well, it can negatively affect that too. So just finding that balance. And so with that of sort of finding your balance, do you guys sort of have a max of how much time you spend at the studio, which is like secretive information for me being the manager, but you know, have you guys spoken to your partners about, like, you know, you don't want to be doing, you know, 5 nights a week, or like you sort of only go to the studio for an hour or two and then come home? Or
yeah, we do talk about it. He doesn't love it when I spend hours at a time there. I mean, he's understanding, I suppose, that it's important, but doesn't mean he has to like it. But I guess I'll find out when I start comp training, like, what that limit is.
Oh, yes.
So, but I'm always open to, like, what he's appreciative of, like, what he's sort of okay with. Like, I understand that he doesn't love it if I'm there all the time. Like, as much as we're doing things in separate rooms in the house sometimes, it's still, like, the presence is, like, still nice to have, I suppose. But, yeah, very open with communication, like, yeah, I'm pushing my limit some days, or no, that's fine, like, we'll catch up next day or whatever. Yeah.
Carissa?
I do try to be mindful of that. I know, like, that it is a few nights a week and it is the best part of half a day on Saturday and the occasional Sunday, so it does have an impact. I guess in a way I will try to be smart with my time. Like, yes, in a way, I would like to sort of be able to do more training at the studio, both as an instructor and as a student, because I would like to start competing again. But I also need to be mindful of the fact of how much time that'll take up in terms of making certain that I'm still spending time with Paul and being supportive of him and making certain that he's not alone every night while I'm at the studio with the fizzy fam, and also balancing that with full-time work, because I do tend to be a bit of a perfectionist in all aspects of my life, in the sense that I tend not to say no. I will do what needs to be done of a day at work, and then I'll be like, oh my gosh, I now need to make certain that I go home and unwind and not let that affect the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So that can be a little bit challenging in a way.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm still trying to find those balance points.
And I know Carissa had a partner in a routine. Danny, would you ever consider having your partner in a routine?
I can imagine how that suggestion would be received. I don't even think you'd have to hear the end of the sentence to say no. Like, music contribution is enough, I would say. But yeah. I don't think that's an option there. Like, he'll come and watch. That's as close as he'll get to the stage.
Look, that's still something. And like, I know in the past he's helped you find music, so at least he gets to be involved in that aspect too, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's
very much appreciated.
I was joking with students the other night that I'm going to change my Tinder profile to say, you know, I'm looking for a guy that's happy to be up on stage, happy to fly to Sydney with me because I've got a comp that I want to do in Sydney, and just change my profile to search for that, get all that out of the way. If they already agree to it, then great. But it can be such a daunting thing. I haven't seen it so much in the aerials, like doing sort of having human props in aerials, but definitely in pole, there's sort of a place for those sorts of competitions and wanting to have your partners involved on stage, because it just adds to the performance, especially if you're doing something like, you know, Frisk or Dance Filthy, like those sort of more centralized competitions. But it can be such an awkward thing to try and bring that up. I know in past relationships that I didn't even bother bringing it up, because there was just no way in hell. I think my ex would have been more comfortable if I used like one of his mates on stage than him.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
I imagine I have friends that wouldn't mind doing something like that, but not the hubby. He'd be like, nah, get one of them to do it.
I mean, it's supportive.
Mm.
Yeah. I know we've talked a lot about sort of the more partner sort of relationships, but relationships isn't just, you know, your significant other. It's everyone else in your life as well, so your friends and your family. Have you guys had any negative experiences when it comes to friends and family regarding your choice of hobbies?
No, but it's aerial, so it's exciting to people who aren't in that world that's something that you're capable of. Yeah,
just be like, I'm training to be in Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, and they'll totally believe you because I don't understand what's involved in getting there.
Nice. Yeah. How about you, Carissa?
Probably more so from family. I have had the few comments of, what? Oh, my God, really? You're a pole dancer for fitness? which is a little bit, like, I get that maybe it's just something that they never really sort of thought of in terms of a hobby and don't really have like an understanding of the pole fitness industry, how we see it. And I haven't had any sort of anyone say, oh my God, why? That's horrible. Why would you do that? Everyone's been relatively supportive in a way, but I guess they're supportive in their own special way. Like they might be like, oh, are you still doing pole? And I'll be like, yeah, I'm still doing pole. I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. They're like, okay, cool. I could never do anything like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I'd be like, well, if you get a chance to do it, it's a lot of fun. But yeah, I think it's just more the fact that it's something that they're not really used to everyone doing necessarily, but it's something memorable, like, oh yeah, you're the pole dancer.
Yeah. And then with that, how did your parents take, well, not that I want to always be like, it's such a negative thing. I'm like, oh, but were your parents so fine? Or?
My dad, I think he came to one Christmas showcase and I think he got a little bit sort of scared and overwhelmed, like as to what pole was. So he was just like, oh God, like I was not expecting this. I don't know where to look sort of thing. So he hasn't really come back and seen any performances in person, but he has watched my comp videos and said, oh, that's cool. Oh, well done. Congratulations. But he hasn't really said anything in person for a few years. Yeah. But, yeah, he's all right. Mum's come to the competitions that I've been in.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, I think they both enjoy it in a way.
Yeah, I remember inviting him to that and he was totally fine with it. Like, but also from his perspective, I think, well, I don't know, actually, I haven't really discussed it with him, but I was always into gymnastics and things like that. So really there's not much difference. Like it's just switching up a horizontal bar to a vertical one.
Yeah, that's true.
And even like, you know, the training outfits that we had to wear for gymnastics, well, there's not much difference between that and what I wear to train in pole anyway. So for him, that was fine. He has, I think he's been to more of my aerial competitions than pole competitions, mainly because the pole competitions I've been in have been like Dance Filthy and things like that. And for, you know, many reasons, I don't want my parents at them. I did show him the start of my first Dance Filthy routine, but there was a moment in the routine where I'm like, this is where you stop watching. You don't need to see it. Some things are just not for parents. But he's really supportive. Same and like, yeah. Well, he's now helping me build my prop for my next routine. So I don't know, he doesn't have much of a choice to be supportive because I need his help. And he's got a lot of set design, so that's what he's doing. But even like, I don't know, I'm trying to like think of friends and everything. I'm like, they're all polars, so they don't care. Or even the ones that aren't polars, they've done pole and they like pole, or yeah, they just don't care. I think the hardest thing with it is sort of finding the time where you're all sort of free to catch up, because like I am at the studio most nights of the week, and for a while was doing like 6 days a week at the studio. So just finding like the time to actually hang out with friends, I think that's more where they sort of have an issue with it, which is same with your significant other relationships and things like that. I think it's more when it impacts the having time for them, that's when it feels like there's more of an issue. And so just trying to find that nice balance. But I don't know, I feel like being at the studio, you've got your fizzy fam there, they're your friends, and you sort of become, yeah, you become family.
Yeah. My friends are pretty good. They know that if I'm like not answering messages, it's because I'm upside down. And they're like, oh, you've gone pretty quiet. I'm like, no, I'm just training. I'm not ignoring you. Like, yeah. I'm just busy. But yeah, they're really good about it.
Definitely coming into comp, like training time, like starting to head into it now-ish. Mm. I know that's when I'm sort of like trying to eat pretty healthily. I generally, before a comp, I'll cut out drinking completely. So like that's something that my best mate and I will always go for drinks and stuff. Like that's just normal, like our normal hangout sort of go-to. But that's out the window when I'm in comp training and things like that. So it's finding those alternative things to do together. But yeah, and making sure you got the time for them and everything. And then hopefully they come to your comps. It's fun.
I dragged mine to showcase the other year, pre-COVID, obviously.
Yeah.
But they'd never seen anything like it before. So they loved it. And I think it helps get that better understanding of where all my time goes. Like that stuff takes time.
Yeah. And I definitely think it's a different experience once they actually try it as well. Mm. They can certainly, you know, appreciate how hard it is and then how much time it takes to build up the skills and everything a lot more. I know my mother had to take back a lot of her words when she tried hoop for the first time, because going to her, it was all easy and you just, you know, hanging, swinging a hoop, and yeah, she couldn't get herself in it. So, but she now does quite a lot of classes with us, so she stuck with it. Yeah. Just hoop for quite a while before lockdown, so she managed to get herself into the hoop.
Yay. Oh my God, I would so love to see my mum do something like that. When I go to visit her, I'm going to drag her to a studio and be like, your turn.
Yeah, you've got the studio up there in Queensland.
Yeah.
Yeah, have to go.
Part of the plan.
Yeah, it's such a nice, like, bonding experience, I think.
Mm.
I know even I've gone down to Warrnambool, and because I've got lots of family down there, and they've come to the studio down there with me. And I had a look, and, you know, my mother was showing off her skills to her sister, and I could do a few things. And it was just a nice, like, something different, but you're still spending time with your family, sort of, and, you know, showing them something different, which is nice.
I have had a friend come over one night a little while ago, so pre-COVID, and she has a daughter who's about 8 or 9 years old. And I remember when we got told, oh, yeah, my daughter's going to come along for the night. I said, okay. We're like, yeah, sure, that's fine. And I thought to myself, how are we going to entertain her? Like, do we ask her, does she want to watch a movie? Do we need to organize like some coloring books or something for her? And it turns out my friend said, you know that Carissa's got a pole upstairs in one of the rooms. So if you want, I'm sure you could play on the pole. And she came up to me not long after we had food, and she's like, Carissa, can I play on the pole? And I said, yeah, sure. If your mum says it's okay, go for it. So she was upstairs pretty much all night, barely saw her. She was just playing around on the pole. I said, do you want me to show you anything? She's like, no, I'm happy just playing. I play on the poles at school. I'm like, okay, that's cool. That's cool to do that. And then she routine and everything, and she showed us her routine. It was very cute. I'm like, oh my God, yay.
Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah, I gotta admit, like, those moments are, like, the best when it comes with like this sport and everything. And my cousin who also came down in Warrnambool, she's got really bad knee problems and everything, and she didn't think she could do anything, and we got her up into the hoop and she's like, oh, I could actually do something. And she was so happy with herself because she was just sort of in that, well, going through different medical treatments and things like that, and was just so down on herself because she couldn't do anything and everyone told her that she can't do stuff. And all of a sudden here she is, she's up in the air and doing something fun and entertaining.
But, yeah,
no. I think there can be some, I guess, negatives when it comes to the stereotypes of, again, mainly pole, and definitely sort of when you start looking at the amount of time, more so I think for, well, not very dedicated, but people that want to do like all the different apparatuses, when it starts to become over multiple nights and then you've got the casual classes and then you're chilling at the studio just because, you know, you're catching up with mates and things like that. Like, there is a massive time implication and it does have its negatives towards sort of your home relationships. But I think at the end of the day, there's just so many positives when it comes to, like, you make new friends, you've got people in a really supportive, loving environment that have a common interest with you. And I know, like, for myself, like, I came into the Pakenham studio as a complete outsider because I don't even live in the area or anything like that. And now it is more of a home than my actual home because, let's be honest, I'm probably there more. but, yeah, it's just amazing how much, like, it changes how you sort of, I don't know, see friendships and relationships. Like, it's just, they're my fam. They're not just my friends and everything, it's my fam.
I think having it as an outlet and for partners and friends to understand that you need that time as much as you need them as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
I know I like need my upside down time sometimes, and like they get that, and like even hubby gets that. He's like, yeah, okay, like I understand that.
Well, yeah, it's also no different if your partner goes to the gym or, you know, plays video games, computer games. Like, I know my ex used to play, I swear, if he didn't have to work full-time, he would play computer games 24/7. But I'm like, you know, it's the same. It's, you know, we all have our hobbies and we have our ways that we sort of relax and deal with mental things and everything like that. And I think for me personally, having an outlet that's also a creative outlet, you can sort of then go through all the emotional things that you need to work off your chest. Like, and you can dance them out. You can just hang upside down. You can tuck yourself into a ball in the hammock and just not see anyone. Like, there's so many just different ways that you can deal with whatever you're going through and be supported by the place that you are. And it's not to say that your partners can't support you. It's just sometimes you need to be with other people for that, or like you just need to be on your own, or, you know, you need time out before you can sort of speak to them about, I don't know, whatever's going on, and rather than being on top of each other all the time.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely agree.
So I don't know if I really have anything else to discuss. I think we sort of covered a lot, but I also feel like we haven't covered anything. I don't know about you guys, I just feel like I've been chatting with you guys. But I think to summarize, pole and aerials is such an amazing and fun sport, and you do build so many new relationships from it. But it's still important to make sure that you're balancing that time at the studio. And it's the same with any other hobby, activity, whatever you do. You want to make sure you've got that balance of still seeing your friends outside of the studio, as well as spending time with your partners. And I think you guys have both highlighted that having that communication of what you're doing and when you're sort of going to spend your time focusing on each other and having that dedicated time for just each other, and then you can sort of have time at the studio as well. I think that's definitely key for a very happy relationship as the newly wed, and what is it, newly fianced? Is that the thing? I kind of feel like that's what it's meant to be, but you know, clearly something's working for you both, so I cannot wait to see where that all develops. And yeah, so exciting. But yeah, thank you for chatting with me tonight and having a glass of wine with me, because that's always fun and appreciated. And for everyone listening, thank you for listening. If you have anything further you want to say, comment them in the Fizzy Poll Worldwide. I'd love to chat to you. If you've got anything else you want covered on the poll and relationships sort of topic of the month, please put that in there as well. We're pre-recording this, so there'll already be a blog post go up. It'll be a week before this has been released, so go back and have a look at that. But if you think there's something else you want covered, make sure to put that in the worldwide chat and we will do some answers if it's questions. I was kind of thinking it'd be so cool if, do you guys remember the old like Dolly Doctors and the advice columns in those?
Yes.
So yes. If anyone has any relationship questions, problems or anything, I think it'd be so much fun if you can send them through to Fizzy Poll Pakenham, and maybe that's what we can do for week three. We can just answer different advice things in the
Dr. Dano.
Yes, Dr. Yes. Dano. The only way I'm gonna become a doctor, so everyone help me live out my dream. Okay, well, to everyone listening, thank you for listening to us. We've been your hosts. My name is Dano. Next.
Danny.
And Carissa.
Wow, we definitely worked on that one and had that timed out really well. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye. Let's get